Okay, we're starting here on the top of Mem Tet Amud Aleph, five lines down. Gemara says, "How machto?" You have this needle. The ishtakach besimpona rabo dekabto. It's found in a large vein of the liver. They're talking about the vena cava or the portal vein that passes by the liver, enters the liver. Hunar marbere drav idi torif said it was a trefa. Of ado barminume machsher said it's fine. Atush eli l'ravino. They brought this question before Ravina. Amar lehu. Shakilu glima de trofai, take away the cloaks of those that said it's a trefa. I mean that they don't should have a right to give psak. They're giving an incorrect psak. They're being toref, making into a trefa items that are not a trefa. They should not be allowed to look at trefot anymore. So hayi kashito found a date pit or a date stone, dishtakach bimoro, that was found in the gallbladder. Amar Ravashi, Gavina Bei Rav Kahana, Amar, ha vadai simpona nakat. This definitely came through the arteries, veins, the windpipe, vatai, and that's how it got here. Now, the assumption again here, which we discussed in yesterday's daf as well, very problematic assumption, is that there is some connection between the respiratory and circulatory systems. The underlying assumption here is if it got to the gallbladder, it entered through the lungs, it entered through the kaneh, then went through the lungs, from the lungs passed into the circulatory system, arterial or veins, and then it reached the gallbladder in that manner. So the assumption here is that there was no piercing of the digestive system, which would make the animal into a trefa, because any type of piercing of the intestines that would have allowed it to pass from the intestines to the gallbladder would have caused it to be a trefa. But here the assumption is that it came through the windpipe and then through the lungs. Somehow it has to exit the lungs without causing any puncture in the lungs, because that would create a trefa. That they think happens because of this connection between the respiratory and circulatory systems. So that allowed this stone to pass and reach the gallbladder. So now he says that that's fine because we don't have anything that indicates to us that it's a trefa. Now, the other qualification or interesting note that he makes here is that even though now we see it in the gallbladder, and it's unable to exit the gallbladder through the veins that are there. Even though it's larger than the size of the veins, and it doesn't seem that it could naturally fit through those pipes, those veins, to get there, nevertheless, we assume that the movement of the animal caused it to dislodge and come through the veins, meaning that, yes, it wasn't fitting perfectly, but over time, as the animal moved, it was able to slowly jimmy its way down and make it all the way to the gallbladder. So even though it's larger than the size that you would have assumed could have come through the veins, nevertheless, that's how it got there. Vani mile, didikla. That's only true if we're talking about a date stone, a date seed. Aval de zeto, if we're talking about an olive pit, mivza bozo. It's much sharper, and therefore it acts more like a needle than it does like a rounded stone. So the assumption of a rounded stone is that it can't pierce anything. Therefore it had to come through pipes. Pipes meaning it has to come through the bronchi, through arteries, veins, and that's how it got to the gallbladder, because there's no way for it to pass between organs. On the other hand, the zeta, olive pit, we're talking about a needle that has a pointedness to it, and therefore it could actually puncture the wall of an organ and move from one to the other. And then we would assume that it came through the intestinal digestive system and passed through the gallbladder, and now we have a trefa on our hands because there's a hole, there's a nekev somewhere in the digestive system. Now Rashi over here compares the case of the date pit to that of a needle, like I just mentioned before, and therefore equating the two cases. Whoever says that before a needle that ends up in the marar and the kaved is problematic would also say here that olive seed is, or pit is problematic, whereas the people who are makshi over there would also be makshi over here. Tosfot says that doesn't make so much sense, because then we end up with a situation where it's the law aliba de hilchata. Because we said a machach nimtza bereya, we had the machogs between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and over there we said halachas ke Rabbi Yochanan and it's makshir. And over here, we're saying that it's problematic. So now you turn out to lo libo de hilchata. That's what Tosfot says. Perish b'kon jis l'man d'chayish b'machat chayish nami hocha. V'im kain, v'lo lo ke hilchata. The kaim lan hilchata k Rabbi Yochanan d'machshir leo. Then he said it's fine. Avon nira d'afilo Rabbi Yochanan b'machat hu d'talinan. Shabbat d'erach ha-simponot. Says only when it comes to needles or a pin do we assume that it came through the pipes, the bronchi, and into the arterial system or veins. Aval kashita de zeta, if we're talking about a olive pit, shem gasim, which is much thicker, it doesn't have ease of access through the pipes, through the bronchi, through the veins. We assume that it punctured through the digestive system, through, and then ended up in the liver. So therefore we'll have actually three levels of movement over here. We'll have something that is not sharp at all. That would be like a date seed. We'll have something that is in this large and sharp. And then we'll have things that are narrow and sharp. In the case of the very sharp and pointed needle, in that case, we assume that it has ability to move through the bronchi into the veins, into the arterial system, and move into the liver in that manner. On the other hand, if we have something that's larger and sharp, then our underlying assumption is that the easiest way and the most logical way for it to end up there was that it came out of the digestive system, punctured the digestive system, and then entered into the liver, which means that we have a trefar in our hand. So that way, you have Rabbi Yochanan reconciled with our Gemara over here by having these three different levels, and only the middle, which is this large and sharp object, will be problematic, which is the pit of an olive. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Halamani kashma rea. Why are the longs called the rea? Shime'ira et ha'inayim, because they cause the eyes to light up. Ivailahu, what does that mean? La'achila, it means if you eat the lungs, it does that for you. Oh, ayidei smanim. Or is it part of a larger potion or herbal mix that makes it happen? Tashma. Tam Rav Huna bar Yehuda, abza b'zuza, by a goose for a zuz. V'reya didob arba, and its lungs cost four. If you think that the whole point is you just have to eat the lungs, and that's why, then cut vizuza. Buy your goose for a zuz. And then you can eat the lungs for cheaper than the four. It must be that it's part of a potion or an herbal mix that includes the lungs, and that helps to improve eyesight or make one's eyes gleam. In kavareya, if the lungs are punctured in the area where the butcher handles it, Talina nalo talina. Do we assume that the butcher's touching over here caused the problem, and therefore it's not a trefa, I mean it happened after the shkita, or do we say maybe it was there beforehand? So Rav Ada bar Natan amar talina, he says we do assume that the butcher did this. Umar zutra b'rei Rav Mari amar lo talina, we don't assume that. Hilchot the Gemara says talina, that is the loch is that we assume that the butcher did this. Rashi notes over here that said anishamati, I heard this b'meitzar, in the narrow part of the thoracic cavity. That's where it's true, because the butcher has to push his hands in there to pull out the lungs from that area. Since he has to force his hands in there, there's all likelihood he's the one who caused the tear or the puncture. And therefore, in those areas, the upper lobes, where it's tight in the thoracic cavity, that's where we'll assume that the butcher did it. That's what he heard. And then Rashi says himself, any place that we know that the butcher could have handled it, could go nekev asui b'sakin, maybe the knife hit it. Or he ripped it out and with a lot of power or strength. Then you find a hole there afterwards. Then we say talina. So if there's any logical argument to be made that it was done by the butcher or by something other than the animal itself, we'll assume that that's the case and it's not a treifa. Hamrav Shmuel b'rei de Rabbi Abo, Abba mirish e kale de Rafram habo. Rav Shmuel bar Rabbi Abo says, my father was from the head of the class or darshanim that was with Rafram. As Rashi points out, Kale is Meresh Darshinan, Hamashmiim Amit Varav Kshaya Doresh. Like the, what they called an Amora, the megaphone, the person who spoke over what the individual, the Amora, was saying, he was from the heads of those group of individuals that we're Rafram. Vamar, and he says Talina, that we are told that on the butcher. Amrua Aloha Kamei de Marzutra, they said over this member in front of Marzutra, Brei de Rav Mari, Velo Kibla, and he did not accept. It makes sense according to, or like the father of Abba makes sense. Now the father of Abba is Rabbi Acha, and that's before actually the girsa should have been in the Gemara. I read it as Rabbi Ada bar Natan. There's an alternative girsa that reads Rabbi Acha bar Natan was the father of Abba, and Abba had a son named Rabbi Acha. So there's Rabbi Acha, then there's Abba, his father, and then Abba's father is Rav Acha bar Natan. So the grandson and the grandfather were named similarly. And here Rabbi Misharshia is stating that the halacha is like the father of Abba, who is Rav Acha bar Natan. And we said, he said Talina. And then where it says Mistavra, it makes a lot of sense. Daha Talina and Bizev. Because when it comes to the case of a wolf, we are told that. And that's a case that we saw earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tet, where if we see the wolf walk off with the intestines and then come bring them back to us, and we see that there are holes or punctures in the intestines, we assume that was done by the wolf who put his teeth in and grasped the intestines with his teeth. And we do not assume that he put them exactly in the location where there was already a hole in the intestines. We assume that all punctures that were put into these intestines were made by the wolf. So we're told if we have a reason to believe that someone else put the holes here, that's what we do. We believe that. Gemara says, Morano. Now, Morano is a worm. So if you have lungs that have worms or decay that's associated with them that produce worms. Pligi bar Rav Yosef bar Dusai v'Rabbanan. Chad amar kodem shkita parish. One of them says that this worm was there before shkita. If that's the case, there's a nekev, there's a hole in it, and it's a treifa. Chad amar la'achar shkita parish. The other one says, no, that only happens after shkita, and therefore the hole was there only made later on. Since it was made later on, we don't have to worry about it. So these worms that we find on the lungs, that are exiting the lungs, when do they exit the lungs? Do they remain internal to the lungs while the animal is still alive and there's no puncture in the lungs and it's kshira? Or do they exit even when the animal is still alive and then we do have punctures in the lungs? That the worms do not exit the lungs until after death, and therefore the animal is not a treifa because there was no nekev in the lungs while it was still alive. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon Amar Ad Shitina Kev. We until now have been speaking about the lungs and the treifa of the lungs. Rabbi Shimon had an alternative opinion, which is that only if the puncture reaches the beta symphonot, reaches the large bronchi, is it problematic by the lungs. But if the puncture only reaches the smaller bronchi, it's not a treifa. Amar Rabba Bar Tachlifa, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Ad Shitinakev the symphonot gadol. That's what it means. It means until it reaches the large bronchi. That's what Rabbi Shimon means. Yotiv Rav Achar Bar Abba. So this is who we spoke about before. This is Rav Acha, the son of Abba. And then Abba's father is Rav Acha Bar Natan. So again, the grandson and the grandfather have the same name. So he was sitting Kameda Rav Huna, Vyati Vikamar, and he said, Amar Rabbi Meloch, Meloch being a name of Amora, Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Halocha ki Rabbi Shimon. The Halocha is like Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei, Meloch Arba'a Kamart? Are you talking about the Arabian Rav Meloch? He says yes. Then he says, and Halocha ki Rabbi Shimon Kamar. Then you got it wrong. He says Halocha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Kisalik Rabbi Zeiro, when Rabbi Zeiro came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rabbi Bibi, the Yati Vikamar, Amr Meloch, Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi, Aloch Rabbi Shimon. He heard that he was saying the same memra that we had heard from Rav Acha Bar Abba, that the Aloch was like Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei Chaye Damar, the Anna Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Rav Asi, he says, I promise that I, Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, and Rav Asi, Ikalein and Latrei, the Rabbi Meloch, we went and visited Rabbi Meloch, Ramri Lei, Yamar Mar Halocha to Rabbi Shimon, and we asked him in person, is the Aloch like Rabbi Shimon? And he stated unequivocally that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. That misora is incorrect. Va'at mabi yodech. So he responds to him. After Rabbi Bibi has this incorrect misora about what Rabbi Meloch says, he asks Rabbi Zeiro, okay, so what do you have? What do you say? So he amar lei, achi amar Rabbi Yitzchok Barami, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, halacha like Rabbi Shimon. I do have the same misora that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but I have it in someone else's name. I don't have it in the name of Rabbi Meloch, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, but I have it in Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Ami in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, halacha Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara concludes, ain't halacha like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. And Rashi over here points out, when the Gemara says over here, ain't halacha like Rabbi Shimon, he says, Gemara kapasikle. That's a psak of the Gemara. It's not part of the back and forth or the discussion, but rather, psak of the Gemara, ubishiva achrona nifsiku halachot alalo psukot kstam bi Gemara. When you see these stam sixke halacha in the Gemara, those were added in the yeshiva achrona, meaning in the batrot, those that put together, assembled the Gemara, they added those in the end to say, this is halacha psuka. The halacha is like this, and since they are the batrot, we follow that as the halacha. All right, the next treifa that we mentioned in the Mishnah is nikva keba, is that when the abu masum is punctured. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Oshia, chelev shal gabe akeba, the fats that surround the keba, which we're talking about here is the abu masim, kohanim, nagu bo heter. The kohanim ate this, they consumed it, kit Rabbi Shmuel, ashamar mishum avotav, and they were relying on Rishmael, who said this in the name of his forefathers, v'simanech, and the siman to remember who does this is Ishmael kana, misayei kohani. Ishmael, who is, Rabbi Shmuel, who is a kohen, was the one who helped out the kohanim. Mahi. What does it mean that he helped out the Kohanim? What piske halacha did Rabbi Shmuel give that helped out the Kohanim? So the Tanya, we have a braita that deals with Birkat Kohanim. It says, Kol Devar Chud B'nei Yisrael. Shmuel Omer Lamadnu Bracha L'Yisrael. That the Kohanim have to give a bracha and Birkat Kohanim to Klal Yisrael, Mipi HaKohanim. That comes directly from the Kohanim. The Kohanim Atzmam. What about the Kohanim themselves? How do they get a bracha? Lo Lamadnu. There's nothing in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says they're giving the bracha to B'nei Yisrael, but what happens? Do they get a bracha? Shomer v'ani avarachem, when the puzzle concludes that kot barchud b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarachem, meaning that you will give a bracha to b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarachem, he interprets v'ani avarachem, havi omer, kohanim avarachem l'Yisrael, the kohanim give their bracha to Yisrael, v'kosh baruchu mevarech l'kohanim, and Hashem is the one who gives the bracha to the kohanim. Because v'ani avarachem, ani is obviously referring to Hashem. Avarachem is a dangling participle, we don't know what it's modifying. Avarchem is, I will bless them. Who is the them? Well, there are two antecedents in the Pasuk. One is Bnei Yisrael, and one is the Kohanim. So Rabbi Shmuel says the antecedent is the Kohanim. And therefore, Ani Avarchem means that if the Kohanim give a bracha to Israel, then Hashem, I will give them, the Kohanim, a bracha. Rabbi Kiva Omer, and Rabbi Kiva is obviously going to take the other position, as the antecedent is Bnei Yisrael. Lamanu bracha liYisrael mipi haKohanim. Mipi haGvura lo lamadnu. We know that Kohanim give the bracha to Bnei Yisrael. What about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a bracha? Kshu Omer, Ani Avarchem, Avi Omer, Kohanim Avarchem liYisrael. Kohanim give the Birkat Kohanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives his seal of approval, and he gives a bracha to Bnei Yisrael. So the antecedent of Ani Avarchem there is Bnei Yisrael. Ela Rabbi Akiva, bracha leKohanim minale. Rabbi Akiva, where does he know that the Kohanim get a bracha? I mean, that he used the pasuk to teach us that it all goes to Bnei Yisrael. What about the Kohanim themselves? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he has it from the pasuk by Avram Avinu, which says, Mi'avarcha, mi'varechecha, so that those that bless you will be blessed. So here, the Kohanim are blessing Bnei Yisrael, and they are the continuum of Avram Avinu. Since those are the people that are blessing Bnei Yisrael, they will automatically get a bracha because Vavarecha mevarechecha. Umay misayi Kohanim. So what is different between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Both of them say in the end that the Kohanim end up with a bracha. So why is it that we say that Rabbi Shmuel is the misayi Kohanim? The mukilah, the Birkat Kohanim, but makom bracha d'Israel. Because he establishes that the Birkat Kohanim, in the same pasuk, he also gives the bracha to Kohanim. And the Kohanim is basically a direct bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are Rabbi Akiva who says that it's somewhat of a convoluted way. I mean, because they give a bracha, then they will end up with a bracha. But they don't actually end up with a bracha through Birkat Kohanim. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shmuel, they actually ended up through Birkat Kohanim. They actually get a bracha, and that's the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Shmuel, Shamar Mishum Avotav Mahi. The fact that they ate the fats on the Keba, which is based on this Rabbi Shmuel, Mishum Avotav, what is that? We have a braita that says, Et kol ha-chelev asher ala kerev. As Tosafot points out, this is an unnecessary pasuk, because we already have et ha-chelev emachase et ha-kerev. So that's already included. This pasuk is extraneous, so what are you going to do with it? Lavi chelev shal gabe adakim. This comes to include the chelev that's on the intestines, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Kiva omer, lavi chelev shal gabe akeba. Kiva says, no, it's to bring include the chelev that's on the obumasum. So these are chelev is something that what is impermissible to eat. Shuman, which is actually a term that's made up by the Chachamim to describe fats that are not chelev, that are not asurim. Everything's chelev, but question is chelev, it just denotes that which is asur to eat. Shuman denotes what that is kosher to eat. So here, the items that are included in a chelev that is asur to eat, Rabbi Shmuel says that included in that is the fats of the intestines, but not the fats of the kebab, the abu masim. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva says it even includes the fats that are on the abu masim. So Rabbi Shmuel here, who was saying Mishum Avutah that helped the Kohanim, was that the fats that were on the Keba, they were permissible to eat. Now truthfully, that makes a difference for Yisrael as well. But one of the Matnot Kuhuna is the Matnot that come out of the Behemat Chulim is the Lechaim and the Keba. So since the Keba went to the Kohanim, the fats around it were significant to the Kohanim because they could eat it. So that's why it says the Messiah of the Kohanim, even though for Yisrael it would be the same din. Very many. And we challenged this braita because we seem to see that Rabbi Kiva and Mishmuel have the exact opposite opinion. It says, "Ve'et achelev asher ala kerev." Rabbi Shimon Omer, "Ma chelev amechaset akerev krum v'niklaf." Just like the chelev that covers the entire innards, the whole intestinal area, there's a fat that surrounds it. It's a krum. It's a membrane v'niklaf, and it peels away. Af kol krum v'niklaf. Also, anything that is an encapsulating fat and peels off, that will be asur. Well, the krum, that is angabe ha keba, does come off. It comes off very easily. It's a membrane around it, and it peels off nicely. So that would mean that the chelev on the keba would be included under chelev. And certainly the chelev that's on the intestines, because that also peels off nicely. Rabbi Kiva omer, ma chelev mechaseh tekerev totav krum viniklaf. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, has three qualifications. One is totav. Now, Rashi says, what totav means simlato, that it is parus ala kerev, that is surrounded around it. And around the dakim, it's something that is totally surrounding the area, and not pieces or portions of fat. So it's something that is encapsulating, it is something that is whole, it's one unit, one piece, and peels off nicely. And that would exclude, as Rashi says, the fats that are on the kebab. Because the fat on the keva ain't ototav, elechatichot ochetot. It's strips of fat to a duk, and it's attached to it. Ala dakim mirosho vehala. On the keva is not the same type of fat. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva seems to say that the chela that's on the keva is permissible. So this is the exact opposite opinions that we saw in the previous braita. Sheshalach Rabbi Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Kach hi atzah shel mishnah. You're right. This mishnah, the second mishnah you have, is the proper opinions, where Rabbi Akiva is the one who's matir fats on the Abu Masim, whereas Rabbi Shmuel is oser. Ve'ipuch kamaita, and flip the original braita that we had. The original braita that said, havi chilev shel gabei adakim, divi Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva omer, havi chilev shel gabei akeba. You have to flip those opinions, and therefore they were reconciled between the two braitot. Mai chazito adipchad kamaita, ipuch bat braita. Why do you flip the first braita? Flip the second braita. Where it says, shani hocho. The second braita is more explicit as to what their opinions are, and it's less likely that it got mixed up. Kevin Dektani, ma davko, when it says ma chilev amachaseta kerev, and it went through a more extensive limud, the fact is there that it's less likely that the Tanaim would have messed up or switched around the opinions. In the other case where it's just the chelav adakim, chelav keba, there it's possible that they switched the opinions. When it says now, ihochi, okay, fine. Now you reconcile the two brightos, but now you create us a problem for what we said before. Rabbi Shmuel, when we said before that the Kohanim eat the fats of the keba, they ate it like Rabbi Shmuel. It's Rabbi Akiva he. It's not like Rabbi Shmuel that they do it. They eat it like Rabbi Akiva. Now, in Ochanami, they learned it from Rabbi Shmuel, who said in the name of his forefathers, B'Shem Avutav. Not that he had it from a Braita, but he had this Mesorah from his forefathers. He disagreed with it. He thought that the Chelev Shel Gabei Keba was problematic. But nevertheless, he had this Mishum Avutav. That this was the Mesorah that he had received. Samarav, Chelev Tohor Sotem. Chelev that is permissible to eat, that can cover up a puncture in an organ. An organ that Fenekev is in it would be a Trefa. If it has fats on it that would be permissible to eat, those fats will seal it up. Tamei, eno sotem. On the other hand, if it's chelev tamei meaning the inedible parts, the parts that are asur to eat, then that type of fat does not seal any hole that's there. And the assumption being that the nature of the fats that are tahor and tamei are different, meaning that the tahor fats are very tight, they sit tightly with the organ, and they hold on to the organ, whereas the non-kosher fats sit away from the organs or really ride on top of the organ. Rav Sheshet Domer, Rav Sheshet disagrees and said, Echad Zevech Hazet Sotem, doesn't matter. Kosher fats, non-kosher fats, they all cover over the holes and they cover over punctures that are there. By Rabbi Zera, Chelev Chaya Mai. We go to the Chelev of a Chaya, what's the din? Now, the Chelev of a Chaya is Mutar. The fats of a Chaya are Mutar across the board. There is no fat that is Asur. So let's come back here now to a Chelev Behema. By Chelev Behema, the chelev that's on the kerev is asur. The fats that are on the kerev are asur. Now, what is the nature of the chelev by the chaya? When we say that it's tahor, does that mean that it has all the properties of the chelev tahor and it could be sotem? Even the chelev shel kerev by the chaya has a different nature and therefore any type of chelev in the chaya is sotem? Or do we say that distinction between tahor and tamei still exists? And then we're going to have to explain why by the chelev of the chaya it's tahor, but it's not sotem. So that the Gemara says, Dafka amar chelev tahor sotem? V'hai nami tahor? Do we say that any chelev tahor is sotem? And so to hear by the chaya, even the chelev she'ala kerev, that by the behema is problematic, by the chaya will be sotem. Oh, dilma mishon de mahadik. But maybe it's because chelev tahor is tight, it holds tight, and it's sealed in, v'hai lo mahadik. And by a chaya, we see that the chelev she'ala kerev, even though it's tahor, it doesn't hold in tight. So rabbi, mighty bayile, nhi de shari bachilo. Okay, fine, by the chelev of the chaya, it's mutter to eat, ahuduke lo mahadik, but it doesn't seal. And so the answer is no, that the chelev ala kerev by the chaya, even though it's tahor, it will not cause it to be sealed. Tosfot mentions over here an interesting question. Nishal Rabbeinu Yitzchak amachat shenimtza bekurkuban. There was a needle that was found inside of the gizzard, the nikva, and it had been punctured at kis shelo. The membrane was punctured of the gizzard, as well as the bsaro, as well as the skin around. I mean, the double-layered protection that is around these organs, they were both punctured by the needle. But there was shuman that was sotem. There was fats that were sealing up the hole. So what is the din over here? What do we say about the fats that are sitting around this korkoban? So Rabbeinu Yitzchak answered, he says that yes, the Gemara here addresses the chelev of a chaya. By chelev of a chaya, which is a chelev that is mutar, there we said that it's not mehadek, it doesn't seal tightly, so that even though it's tahor, it's not sotem. Over here we have the chelev of an oaf, of a bird, or a fowl, that's also mutar, just like the chelev of a chaya. So what do we say about the chelev here? Do we say that it's also tahor, but it's not mehadek? So Rabbeinu Yitzchak says the Gemara was specific. It only addressed chaya. The fact that it didn't address an oaf means that an oaf would be sotem. He says that Dalomi Bailan Hochelev Chelev Chaya. The question of the Gemara was only about Chelev Chaya. Aval b'Chelev Tahor the Oaf. When talking about Chelev the Oaf, which is all the Chelev of the Oaf is Tahor. Shalom Matzino Knegdo Tamei. We don't find anything similar in an animal. Here we're talking about a kurkuban. This is an organ that's not found inside of an animal. Pshita de Sotem de Mahadik Shapir. It's clear that that does seal because it seals tightly and it holds tightly, and therefore he was Matir. Even though there was a needle that had punctured the gizzard, kurkuban, of this bird, nevertheless, he was matir it because it was nistam, ayide, the fats that were around it. Tzaunekev de satma chelev tame. It was a hole, a puncture, that was covered up by chelev tame, by non-kosher fats. Tata de kame de rovo. That was brava for rovo. Amar rovo, the mayne chusha. Why do we have to worry about this? Chado do amar rav sheshet chelev tame nami sotein. First of all, we have Sheshet who believes that even Chelev Tameh can be Sotein. Vote. Number two is the Torah Chasal Mumunam Shal Yisrael. The Torah had Rachamim on Bnei Yisrael and didn't want to waste their money. So I want to be Matir. Some of the Rav Popo, the Rav, says, Rav, what are you talking about? First of all, Rav. We have a machlokas here between Rav and Rav Sheshet. So Rav said that Chelev Tameh is not Sotein. V'Isur Doraita. And we're dealing here with an Isur Doraita. We have a Sufik Isur Doraita. You have two opinions here, and one is the Chumra. When you have a Suffolk Dor, right, you go to Chumra. So why are you being Mekil to go like Rav Sheshet when a Suffolk Dor, right, that we should pass them like Rav, who says that Chelev Tamei is not so tame? Because we'd be Choshesh for that. But Amar, Tarach Chosal Momonam Shal Yisrael, and you're talking, we're talking about Suffolk Dor, right, and you're bringing in this issue that the Torah is Chosal Momonam Shal Yisrael, that it has Rachamim, doesn't want to waste the Jews' money? That's not, shouldn't be relevant in this case. It's a Suffolk Dor, right, that we go to Chumra, irrespective of the quest to Bnei Yisrael. Now just the limud of fact that Torah is chasal momonam shel Yisrael comes actually from Tzarat HaBayit. By the Tzarat HaBayit, it says before the Kohen comes to look at the Tzarat, the Torah tells us to have the individual's houses remove all the kelim from the house. So the Chachamim ask, what do you mean remove all the kelim from the house? You can just re-matire them afterwards. Even if it's Tameh, you take them to the mikvah and you dip them in the mikvah. So what must it be talking about? It must be talking about the Kli Cheres, the earthenware utensils or vessels that are there. Because earthenware utensils do not have any tahara in the mikvah, and the only way to be matar them is to break them. So those small items, the kli cheres that are in the house, the Torah had rachamim and didn't want to waste this individual's money, even though this individual is a tzar ayin, as Rashi writes. This person got tzarat habayit because he was miserly. Because he was miserly, that's one of the reasons that tzarat habayit comes. Nevertheless, even though this person's miserly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected his possessions, and says, take out the kli cheres so they don't get, are not made tamei, and are irreversibly tamei. So therefore, we learn from that, that the Torah is chasal momonam shel Yisrael. Okay, minyumin kanduka. Minyumin, who was a pitcher jug seller, merchant. Inglele bistika d'duvsha. He had a jug of honey that was exposed. It was left open overnight. Now he wants to know what the status of it. Atakle made the Rava. Again, he comes before Rava, same individual who was brought the halacha before, and Rava gives a similar answer that he did then by the treifa. Amar Rava l'may nichushla. What are we going to worry about? Chado d'tnan. We have a mishnah shloshim mashkim asarim mishum gilui. Only three liquids which are problematic if they're left open overnight. That is yayin, wine, mayim, water, and chalav and milk. Shar chalav mashkim utorim. Any other liquid is not problematic. Vod. In addition, Torah chasam omanam shishel. The Torah wants to have rachamim. Doesn't want to waste the Jews' money. Samalei Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, the Rav was, Rav Nachum Yitzchok challenges Rav the same way that Rav Papa did before. Rabbi Shimon, first of all, you have Rabbi Shimon who disagrees, which the Gemara will bring in a second. And Sakanat Nefashot, so here it's not even a Suffolk Doraisa, it's a fake Sakanat Nefashot over here. Throughout the Damar, Torah Chasal Monam Shison, and you bring in a monetary matter? Talking about Suffolk Sakanat Nefashot, and you're talking about a monetary matter. So Mar says, Rabbi Shimon Mahi, what is this Rabbi Shimon? Titania, we have a Brayta, Chamisha in Behem Mishum Gilui. There are five liquids that don't have a din in Gilui. This is the Shita of the Chachamim of the Tanakama. Tzir, which is brine. Chometz is vinegar. Shemen, oil. Dvash, honey, which is what we're discussing here. Umorius, which is a pickled fish hash and wine. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af hein yesh behem mishum Gilui. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says they do have a din in Gilui. So now we have a machloket. A machloket and a safek sakanat nefashot. We're going to go to Chomer. The Chomer means that it's according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, ani ra'iti nachash shishata. Tzir b'tzidan. And I'll prove it to you. I personally witnessed a snake drinking brine in tzidan. Amrlo shtati ohava. That was a deranged snake. Ve'mevim rayam in a shotim. We don't bring any proof from a deranged snake. That was a snake that didn't do what was normal, or the normal course of snakes. So you're not going to bring a proof to me that one time that some snake did this. So Amrle, now Amrle here is Rava to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Odeli mihat b'tzir. At least admit to me by brine that you don't have to worry about it. Daha Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Shua, Rabbanan, these Amoraim, as well as all the Rabbanan, Kavalu Giluya, if for some reason or by accident they left the liquid open overnight, Shadulei Betzir, they used to throw it into the brine, they used to make it a part of the mixture in the brine, because they felt that the strength of the brine was an antidote, or negated the venom of the snake. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak responds to Rav and says, well, Amarleo, do leave me abedvash. At least you should admit to me by honey, which was the nature of the case here, to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, koi kavate. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds like Rabbi Shimon and says that dvash is a problem. D'tanya, b'chena, ya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, osir b'dvash. So not only do you have Rabbi Shimon, but you have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Stam Rabbi Shimon and Shatz is Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So you have Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai saying dvash is a problem. And now on top of that, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So at least you should agree with me that here when you have a safek, we should definitely be choshesh for dvash. If you want me to agree about the brine, fine. But that still doesn't help your psak over here, because your psak was about dvash. And by dvash, I have more evidence that we should be choshesh, because I have two otanayim that say that dvash is problematic. Now, in terms of other liquids, here we discuss the five liquids. As Tosafot points out over here, that all the other mashkim are fine, even though here the Chachamim only mention that five that are mutar. The reason they mention these five is because these five Rabbi Shimon disagrees and said are problematic. And the others, Rabbi Shimon agrees, they don't have to mention it. But they agree that Shar Kol HaMashkim are totally fine. Tosafot points out over here that the Aloha is like Rav Papa. The Aloha here is like Rav Papa and Rav Nachum Rav Yitzchak against Rava. Because we're going to see in a second in the Gemara that it seems that Rava himself reversed his position after being questioned by Rav Papa and Rav Nachum Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Nachum, Chela Basui Kikova, any fat that is made like a cap, Eino Sotem, it does not seal. Since it's not tight and sitting easily on, it's riding on top of the organ. Since riding on top of the organ, it will not seal properly over the hole. Heicha, where is there fat that sits like a hat? Samilei chitei de karkeshto. That is in the rectum. At the edge of the rectum, the fat that surround it, that is fat that rides on top, and therefore it's not sotem a hole there. Barmila tarpisha deliba. Some say that it's the fat around the heart, the pericardium. Those fats that are around the heart, they sit like a cover, like a cap, and they're not actually sealed in on top of the heart. Now, Tosafot points out over here that when we're talking about the fats that seal up the hole, and we mentioned this before, I just mentioned the case in the Gemara, I didn't tell you what it was sitting on. Tosafot mentions that we're not talking about fats that are sitting on the lungs, because there are no fats that are directly associated with the lungs. That the fats that are around it or attached to it, it's for sure a trefa, because those fats do not belong to the lungs. They're either the fats from the heart that are adjacent to the lungs. And first of all, we have an opinion here that those fats ride on top, but even if they do where they were sealed, they seal the heart, they don't seal the lungs, and therefore those fats do not seal up the lungs. Or they're coming from the intestines, the fats in the intestines, again, which doesn't belong to the lungs, and therefore any lung that's covered up with fats, those fats are external to it and don't sit there naturally, and it's not covering up the hole. So when we're talking about fats that are sitting, we're talking about fats sitting on the heart, sitting on the intestine, sitting on the digestive system. Those are the fats that seal up holes, and it has to be associated with that organ directly, because it has to be mehadek, it has to tighten on. But if it's associated with a different organ, it just happens to be proximate to it, then it doesn't seal, and therefore the lungs, which have no particular fat associated with them, therefore they do not have a stima, ayudei, fats. And any sircha, if we find any attachment there or connection over there, we know it came from a puncture in the lungs because there has to be some sort of liquid or puncture that causes that type of sircha. Amarova, Shmait Minei de Rav Nachman, Tarte. I heard two things from Rav Nachman, and this is the position where we see Rava seems to have changed his mind or taken into consideration what Rav Papa and Rav Nachman Yitzchak said. I heard two things from Rav Nachman, Tarte. Chimtza, Ubar Chimtza. The hat or helmet, and the son of the hat. Chad Sotim, one of them is Sotim, V'chad Lo Sotim, and one of them does not seal up a hole. And I don't know which is which. Rav Huna bar Chinina, Rav Huna Breda, Rav Nachman, Amar bar Chimtza Satim, the son of the hat is Sotim, Chimsa lo Sotim. Whereas the hat itself is not Sotim. Amar Rav Tavot, Simanech, I'll tell you what the Siman is to remember this. Yafek Koach HaBen, Mikoach HaAv. This is a Mishnah in Shavuot. It says that the son has more power than the father. So it's over here, the bar Chimtza has more power, healing power, than the father. The father, the chimtza, doesn't seal, whereas the bar chimtza does seal and will cause it to be a ksheira and not a trefa. Now the Gemara is going to ask, we're not going to do this, we'll continue with this tomorrow, which is, hi chimtza, hi bar chimtza. Where are these fats? These hat fats and the son of the hat fats, where are they found? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. We just laid out the halachic framework and now we're going to know what is he talking about. What are the examples or situations in which this is the case? Okay, we'll stop over here.